The title tonight is Jesus, Full of Surprises, and if you've got your church Bible, you'll see that the reading is on page 1024. And I want to read from verse 9. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. And later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, and he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." And I want to leave it there. Tell me, who likes surprises? Few people like surprises. Who's had some surprises this year so far? Yeah, there's a few people that have had surprises. Here's a picture of somebody that some of you will know, who had a real surprise one day on a very significant milestone of her life, a birthday. And I love it because you can see the moment of surprise, can't you? It's like there was quite a lot of people there to celebrate this particular milestone. And I won't tell you what it is because I'll get into trouble. But I had a surprise. Well, lots of surprises this year, but one of the surprises was when I was in the desert in May. Because in the desert, I actually saw wheat growing. And who would have thought you would have seen wheat growing in the desert? And that was quite a trip. It was a trip that I took with others over 8 days deep into the Sahara Desert. You didn't wash or shower for a week. We actually washed our food bowls in sand. That was the way to get them clean. There were all sorts of interesting things that I did that I'd never done before. I'd not drunk sour camel's milk before. That was interesting, or goat's milk. Lots of interesting things. But the one thing that really struck me was, as we were traveling through the Sahara Desert, we came across this patch of wheat that was being harvested, almost stalk by stalk, by these nomads. And we stopped, and we actually gave them a hand in actually reaping this harvest. And it was just a very significant moment, I think, for us. A year before, a group had traveled through the desert, and some of you will remember, they stopped in a nomad tent and asked if they could pray for anything. And the prayer was then, "We've not had rain in this area for 2 years. Would you pray that it will rain?" And many will know the story that they did pray for rain, and then the very next morning they woke up to rain falling on their tents. Does God answer prayer? He does, doesn't he? God answers prayer. And it seems like that prayer for rain has come in abundance, because in the spring of this year, in that area, they've had lots of rain. And I saw all sorts of flowers in the desert. And then we came across this patch of wheat that was being harvested. And we started singing as we were harvesting, the group of us, "These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord." And then the song goes something like this: "And we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And we were singing that at the top of our voices. We are the voice in the desert crying, prepare the way of the Lord. And we're saying, Lord, as we are physically reaping here, may we have the opportunity to physically reap. And we are invited into, three nomad tents, which is a great honor. And we were able to share Jesus with them. And some of those people came to know Jesus as we shared. Really thrilling. It was an amazing trip, and I'll share more as time goes on. One of the things that I have found as I've read the Gospels, and maybe you have found this too, is that sometimes Jesus does things or says things that are totally surprising. Haven't you found that as you've read the Gospels? I think the disciples were often surprised at what Jesus did or said. You know, for them, following Jesus wasn't boring. You know, sometimes people, you know, look at Christians and pity us and say, oh, these poor Christians, they have such a boring life. Well, following Jesus is never boring, is it? For me, it's been one of the most exciting things, the most exciting thing that I've done, following Jesus. It's been amazing. And he's constantly surprised me as I've walked with him. But I'm sure the disciples were surprised when Jesus gave them 5 loaves and 2 fishes and said, go and feed these 5,000 people. You know, it's like, wow, this is going to be interesting. And I think their surprise grew as they gave the bread and as they gave the fish. It seemed like it didn't matter how many people got the bread and fish, there was still enough in their hand to give to others. That was quite a surprise for them, wasn't it? I'd love to have been there. I'm sure their eyes came out like organ stops. It's like, whoa, what's going on here? This is our Jesus. I'm sure they were surprised when he was on the Lake of Galilee and there was this storm. And they were there. He was asleep in the boat. But the boat was, you know, rocking away. It looked as though it would be sunk at any moment. It looked as though it was going to do a backflip any moment. And there was Jesus quietly sleeping in the stern of the ship. It's like, how can he sleep in this storm? Constantly, they were surprised. I think they probably were surprised too when somebody came and said, you know, the man, your friend Lazarus, the one you love, he's sick. Come quickly. And he didn't. He stayed 2 more days in the same place. I bet that surprised the disciples. Jesus, you really love this man. Why aren't you dashing off and doing something about it? But he didn't do that, did he? Because you see, Jesus was listening not just to the voice of man. He was listening to the voice of his Father God. And that's why he was, I think, so many times doing things that were surprising. He was linked to his Father God. And therefore, because of that, all sorts of things were happening. And as we link with Father God, as we listen to him, we will find that our lives are full of surprises. We'll see God do things through us that totally surprise us. And I think one of the things that, as I look back, has surprised me, and that's simply been, you know, the faithfulness of Jesus throughout my life. He has been so faithful. He's full of grace and full of love. Don't you love Jesus for that? Many times I think, Lord, why do you put up with me? I'd have got rid of me a long time ago. Why do you put up with me? But he does. And despite all my faults and all my failings and times I get things wrong, he says, David, I still love you. I'm still for you. I'm still rooting for you, shouting for you. I believe in you, even when other people have not believed in me. Jesus has. And that's true for all of us. When others haven't believed in us, Jesus has. He's so faithful, isn't he? And that's why we love him. That's why we love to sing about him and praise him, because he is one who is so faithful and so loving towards us. But let's just go through this passage tonight, because there's three things that I want to bring out that, as I've meditated on this scripture, has surprised me. And let's see what the Lord would say to us as we go through the scripture here. Firstly, when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. I thought about that, and I just thought, that's surprising. It's surprising who he revealed himself to first after he had risen. I thought, well, I might have thought it would be the disciples. You see, the disciples were closest to him. The disciples had been with him, particularly Peter, James, and John. They'd been with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. They'd been with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. I would have thought that he perhaps would have revealed himself first to them. But he didn't. And then I thought on a little bit further. I thought, well, okay, if not the disciples, surely his mother. No mother wants to bury their son. Surely he would have shown himself first to his mother and said, look, it's all right, Mum. I'm alive. Didn't I tell you? Didn't you realize that I was going to rise again in 3 days? It wasn't his mother, but it was Mary Magdalene. Now, Mary was one out of whom he had cast seven demons. Her life had been really messed up. But she'd met Jesus, and he totally turned her life around. From somebody who was going through life tormented, without hope, meeting Jesus made a huge difference. He set her free. He brought her to a place where she could sleep at night, where she could begin to feel hope for the future. And she loved him so much for that. You know, the Bible says those who have been forgiven much love much. She loved Jesus. I wonder tonight if there's any who can identify with Mary Magdalene, you say, do you know what? My life was in a real mess. But Jesus, when I met him, he turned my life around. I'm here tonight because of Jesus. I made a right mess of my life, but Jesus has been the one who's put all the pieces back together. And if we can't say we feel completely whole, we're saying I'm on the way to being completely whole, because Jesus is putting all the pieces together and giving me a hope for the future where I had no hope. If that's you tonight, then you will love him greatly. Those who've been forgiven much, love much. And he revealed himself to Mary. Mary was one who, she lingered, it seemed, at the tomb. Let's have a look, shall we, at John. I think it's 24. Let's just go to John together, shall we? It's John 20. Because I'd like us to understand Mary a little bit more. And in verse 10, it says this, John 20, then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord," she says, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Now, thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he had said, that he had said these things to her. I just love it that Jesus decided to reveal himself to Mary Magdalene first. Now, in a sense, Jesus was often cutting against the culture of the time, and women in his time were sort of seen as second-class citizens, almost treated like the Taliban treated women in Afghanistan. And, he was constantly trying to cut across the culture of the day to honor women. Remember, Jesus wasn't afraid to speak to the woman at the well in John 4. And it says, when the disciples came back and saw Jesus talking to this woman, it was like, it actually says they were surprised. What is Jesus doing talking to this woman? It's a no-no in the culture. But you see, he didn't live under the culture of the day. He lived kingdom culture, the kingdom of God. And he wanted to bring value to women. And he wanted them to see that they were equal, that they didn't have to feel inferior. And it's in a sense he came and he showed himself to this woman who'd had been so messed up. And he revealed himself to her first. And I think, a couple of reasons is she just loved him so much. And secondly, she seemed to linger at the tomb. She wanted to be as close to Jesus as possible, even in his death. And I think for us, as we love Jesus and as we just linger in his presence, he'll reveal himself to us. In fact, tonight, I think perhaps for one or two, I was feeling as I was preparing this, there's one or two who you would say, actually, I have made a lot of mistakes in life. And I think, to be honest, that Jesus is the last person that's going to reveal himself to me. I look around the church and I see all these good people. Jesus is going to reveal himself to them. He wouldn't bother with me. He wouldn't reveal himself to me just because my life's a mess and I feel pretty second rate anyway. And if you're thinking that tonight, I want to say that's a lie. Jesus loves you. And you're not a second class person. And he's as likely to meet with you tonight as anybody else. In fact, I felt that the Lord was saying, if you're feeling like that tonight, sort of messed up and really feeling that God's not interested in you, that he wouldn't even bother with you, there's too many other good people for him to pay attention to, tonight for you, this is your night. And I believe that at the end of the service, if you want to come forward, and there'll be an opportunity to do that, and just linger in his presence, somebody will pray for you. And I believe for you tonight, as for Mary Magdalene, as Jesus spoke her name, the Lord can speak your name tonight, and he can turn your tears into joy because he loves meeting with people who reach out to him. So that's the first thing that surprises me. Let's go on and continue to read here. Let's go back to Mark 16. In verse 10, she went then and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. And when they'd heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. One or two things just to say about that as I was meditating on that. This is quite an amazing scene. Can you imagine Mary coming to the disciples, and she didn't just come and say, "Oh, guys, I just want you to know I've seen Jesus. Jesus is alive." Did she? I think she came, and it was whole body communication. It was tone of voice. It was excitement. She was coming and she said, "Guys, you'd never believe this. Jesus is alive. He's appeared to me. Isn't that wonderful?" And I thought that would have been enough for the disciples. Say, "Hey, really? Fantastic. Hope he appears to us soon." But they didn't. It almost seems that, you know, I can just imagine in my mind's eye Peter looking over at John. She's lost it. That's really sad. The grief's got to her. She's gone over the top. She's having delusions. We're going to have to watch this one, you know. She's going to need a bit of aftercare. We've got to help her through this. This is bad. Ooh, I can just imagine them saying that. It's like she's totally lost it. They didn't believe. And then the two from who'd walked the Emmaus Road, and you can read that in Luke's account. They come, and I'm sure they're just like Mary. You know, they come along and say, "Guys, you'll never believe it. Jesus is alive. We walked with him 7 miles. We didn't realize who it was at the time, but when we were breaking bread together, he suddenly revealed himself to us, and we knew it was Jesus." They must have been fit, because then they walked 7 miles back, didn't they, to Jerusalem to tell these guys. They may have been a little bit out of breath, but I think they were saying, "Guys, this is amazing. Jesus is alive. Isn't that great?" And what do we read? Isn't this almost unbelievable? It's just like, "These returned and reported it to the rest of them, but they did not believe it either." It's almost as though the disciples were thinking, this delusional thing is catching. There's others that have got this delusional thing now. Where's this going? They could not believe that Jesus was alive. And let me just say this one thing. And I say it to my own heart as I say it to your heart tonight. You know, sometimes through disappointment, and the disciples were disappointed, and there was grief there, but sometimes we, when we hear of stories, of supernatural things happening, maybe we can be a bit like the disciples. Okay. I'll believe it when I see it. I haven't seen it, but I'll believe it when I see it. And instead of being excited, we think, we're just in our hearts saying, okay. And it's not just the raising of the dead or healing. It could be somebody who comes and says, "I've really just been blessed by the Lord. He's really ministered into my heart. I felt he's brought some inner healing." And we go, good. And in our minds we think, I wonder how long this will last. And we're a little bit unbelieving and cynical. And I pray that the Lord would speak to our hearts. You know, the word says that we should. Love believes the best. And when we hear of these things, and God's doing so much today, I hope you're one who is able to rejoice with those who rejoice. And when you hear of these things, it's not like we believe everything we hear, but you know, for some of us, our default mode is to be disbelieving rather than believing. And you know, may God help us to be people who get encouraged and excited when people share things. Because God is doing great things today. Let's not be like the disciples here and just be disbelieving and pour cold water on things. And then in verse 14, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. And he rebuked them for their lack of faith and for their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. This is the second thing that surprises me. He confronts his disciples rather than comforts them. I looked at that and I thought, Jesus appears to the disciples. Okay, they've been really distressed over the fact that he's dead. They're going through a really difficult time. You might have thought that Jesus would have come alongside and said, guys, look, here I am. I just want to say that, you know, I'm alive now and I've got a great future for you. We're going to do great things together. Hey, stop being upset. You know, it's wonderful. You know, we're going to just work together and do great things together. He didn't comfort them. He confronted them. And I thought, wow. He rebuked them, didn't he? The first thing he did when he rose from the dead and he met the disciples, he confronted them about their unbelief. He rebuked them, it says, for their unbelief and hardness of heart. See, one thing that we can learn from this, Jesus does not comfort us in our sin. He confronts us over our sin. And actually, aren't we thankful he does that? Because that helps us to become better people. I had a situation some years ago now, but God was just working with me and I was in meetings and at times I felt I should share a scripture. It's one of those open type of meetings to share a scripture or share something with others. And at the time, I wouldn't do it and I'd come away feeling really discouraged. I thought, well, I really felt God gave me a scripture to share with the people, but I didn't do it and I just felt so bad. And it got to a point, I think I was in a Youth with a Mission discipleship training school at the time. I can remember coming out and just walking down the corridor. I felt I should share something. I hadn't done it. And I said to the Lord, I was just talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, I am fed up with this inability to speak out, this fear of failing, the fear of messing things up. I'm fed up with it, Lord. And I was expecting Jesus to say, well, that's all right, David. You know, I still love you. I'm still for you. I still delight in you. But this is what I heard, and it wasn't the audible voice of God, but it was very clear. He said, David, he says, I'm fed up with it too. When are you going to do something about it? Wow. Yes, okay, Lord. And, you know, I thought, didn't expect to hear that. That was a rather surprising response. But, you know, I'm glad he said it because it galvanized me into action. And I determined then not to put up with this. Whatever it took, I was going to overcome this. I was going to deal with it. And in fact, I think it was that day I really, before God, I said, Lord, that's it. He pointed out that basically it was pride. He pointed out that I didn't share. You know, fear's not a good excuse. If you come up to the Lord with the excuse of fear, it doesn't wear within him. Have you found that? It doesn't wear with him, that one of fear. And he said, David, you know, don't tell me you're afraid of making mistakes and saying things that are going to hurt people. because I want you to know, if you share with a good heart, I'm bigger than any mistake you make. So don't worry about mistakes. I'm God, and I can overcome those mistakes. I dealt with things that day, and I'm glad he confronted me. So friends, tonight, all I'm saying is, let's be open. Because the Lord loves us, you know, he disciplines those he loves. If he's confronting you over things, just deal with it. And I just put some things down that, yeah, may be areas that he's trying to confront you on. And, yeah, maybe for you it is a bit of a cynical heart that he's confronting you on tonight. Maybe it's a relationship you know is not right, and he wants to confront you tonight on that. Maybe it's a business situation that's not righteous, and he's confronting you on that. Maybe things you're watching, things you're doing, things you're saying that you know are not right. And Jesus is coming along tonight and saying, enough is enough. It's time to deal with it. It's time to move on. Because sometimes we just get this impression, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. And he wouldn't say anything to hurt our feelings. Sometimes Jesus does come right in and say things that go right to the heart and say, deal with it, my child. Deal with it. Don't put up with it any longer, because it's not good for you and it's not glorifying to me. He rebuked his disciples because he loved them. And then lastly, and this really does amaze me, after that he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. That's the third thing that surprises me. He confirms their calling rather than cancels the calling. You would have thought that Jesus, having seen the disciples' past record over the last few days, hardness of heart, unbelief, you wouldn't blame Jesus for thinking, okay, let's get rid of this lot. I'm going to start with 12 more good men. They've got good hearts, soft hearts, people that are really going to obey me and go for me. I'll start again. But he didn't do that, did he? He actually, having rebuked them, then goes right on and says, actually, you've still got the job of taking the good news of the kingdom around the world. I think that's beautiful, because what it says to me is this: God uses people who fail. Anybody failed? I think we can all put our hands up. You know, they'd blown it, the disciples. He rebukes them, but then he says, come on, you may have failed there. You didn't believe those folks that came and said that I'm risen. But do you know what? I still have a plan for you. And God is the one who loves to work in people who failed as they get up and say, Lord, here I am. Again, failure isn't final, never need be final. In fact, failure is never as bad as it seems at the time. That's what I've learned. And actually, success is never as good as it seems at the time. They both go together. Never as good. And I failed, I don't know how many times. I've had to pick myself up off the floor. You probably have too. We're human, aren't we? And God says, you've still got the job. You're still the person that I've called you to be, to serve in whatever area it is. You're my person. You are a person of destiny. That's such good news. He doesn't discard us when we fail. And I believe, again, tonight, for some people, you know, you feel over your life is written failure. If you are honest, you feel a failure. You don't feel the success story that you want to be. You'd love to feel a success story, but to be honest, in your hearts, in our hearts, is that sense failure. And the enemy would like to keep you there and keep you in that situation of failure. The Lord wants to say, mm-mm, That's not who you are. You're not a failure. You may have failed, but you're not a failure. I'm still with you. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to anoint you by my Spirit. And together we're going to walk into the future. Because that's his heart for all of us. And for any who feel failures tonight, and I believe there will be some, this is why I believe the Lord's put this message on my heart. Things can change from tonight onwards. You can know the Lord minister his love to you, healing from the pain of that failure, from the disappointment you feel. You can have a fresh start tonight, a brand new start tonight. Because God loves working with people who, although they've failed, have got a heart to serve him. There was a guy who worked in a financial institution, and he'd been there about 9 months. He was a good guy, and they gave him responsibility quite quickly. And he actually did something. He made a mistake, and it cost the company about £200,000. And it wasn't long before he got a call to see the managing director. And he knew what was going to happen. And he was just going to put his hands up and say, I'm sorry. If I can pay it back, then I don't know how. Anyway, he was totally surprised by what the managing director said. He sat him down and said, young man, he says, you think today that you're going to be without a job, that I'm going to fire you. He said, I've thought about you. I've seen your track record. He said, I think you've got potential. You've made a mistake. However, he says, I look at it this way. I've just invested £200,000 in your training. And I'm not about to let that go to another company. You've still got the job. You can imagine that guy came out amused, in a daze, totally overwhelmed. How is it I could still have this job? Do you think that he spent the next years serving that company faithfully? You bet he did. He gave 101%. He was so thankful that he still had a job. That's how Jesus treats us. We may have failed, but he says it's been a learning experience. You've still got the job. Let's pray together, shall we? Just as I've been speaking this evening, and in a sense they've been just feeble human words, but perhaps the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you. I know the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me. I just want to give us a moment as we just look at those three surprising responses. Say, Lord, what is it you're saying to me tonight? What is it that I need to take away from this meeting tonight? I just want to give the Holy Spirit a chance just to underline those things that he said to us. What do we need to do in response to what he's saying? Lord, speak by your Spirit each and every heart here tonight. And Lord, whatever you're saying, give us the courage, I pray, to respond. Respond to you because you love us so much. You are a wonderful Savior. The one who died for us to take away our sin, to bring us back into relationship with God. We are so grateful, Lord, for all that you've done. You came to heal and bind up the brokenhearted. You came to set the captive free. Would you set captives free tonight, Lord Jesus? Help us to be the people that you've called us to be, I pray. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.